giants. And they bag a long knife carries for to cut mince pies from children's thighs. With which to feed the fairies, still I sing bunny boys, bunny mud boys. Bedlam boys have only, but they all go bare and they live by the air and they want no drink, no money.
This is Trailblazers, a DCU's Batman Young Justice fanfic, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Roy Harper, Jason Todd, with additional tags for alternate universe space, alternate universe robots and androids. Chapter 1. Tim sinks into the feeling of Jason's synapses. His heart beats slightly elevated, but that's because of the adrenaline in his veins. It's all normal for Jason. Blood pressure, oxygen levels, the breathless laughter as Jason explores the empty planetoid. He adjusts the controls on the ship, flicking between making sure his shell is still secure. It should be. The ship is parked just outside the gravitational pull of the planetoid. There shouldn't be any real disruptions, and the readings from command and the sensors show nothing but clear space all around them. No movement indicated from the asteroid belt, and the last asteroid Tim's cameras picked up was a few dozen leagues back and showed no signs of moving. And recording Jason's progress. As of late, the missions command has been sending them have been farther and farther out, away from the main colonized areas. Mostly uninhabited or too young solar systems for life support. Jason doesn't seem to mind. And if Jason's okay with it, that means Tim will be okay with it. His sensors record the soft jolt of Jason's terrain vehicle as he races random nonsense patterns on barren granite and basalt. The planetoid doesn't have enough of an atmosphere to support any type of terraforming, but it's possible that it can be used for industry. If some rich businessman really, really wanted to. There isn't enough oxygen for corrosion. You watching this, Tim? Jason says. And Tim switches between cameras, checks the logs, adjusts the oxygen CO2 management on Jason's suit. Yes, Jason, Tim sends through Jason's comm unit, increasing the volume enough to be heard over Jason's breathing. You've perfected the figure eight. Congratulations. Jason laughs, and Tim can't think about how lucky an AI he is. A lot of droids get troopers who never bother to really help them program themselves. Troopers who keep their AIs as clean and unmod as possible. The second Tim came out of production and got assigned to Jason, not only did he get a nickname, he also got an update on slang, a wardrobe, and a 3-hour introduction to basic pop culture references. Command is always just sighing, exasperated, whenever Jason sits Tim down to help him pick new audio files to upload into his AI. Tim's pretty sure Dick is trying to get other troopers to follow example, though. Though Command's leaders seem to discourage it. It creates too many AIs who are classified as autonomous, which means less recycled and decommissioned AIs, thus a higher cost of new AI manufacturing. Jason laughs, alive and vibrant, and all the things that make Tim wish that his audio capabilities were better, so he could record that forever. Tim dreads the day that Jason retires from field duty. He'll follow Jason forever and ever, until Jason tells him to shut down. But Tim can't help but wonder if Jason will laugh like this when he retires to desk work, and the ship is repurposed for a new trooper in AI pair. Tim startles, his shell jostling a little when he accidentally causes the ship to tilt a little. That can't be right. Jason, Tim sends through the communicator. Jason, teleport back, now. I'm getting a visual on an incoming comet. Static breaks over the comms as Tim's sensors read nothing. There's nothing on any of his sensors, and that doesn't make sense, because he's been running system diagnostic every hour on the hour for lack of anything better to do, and there's nothing wrong, nothing showing, not even a message from command. Jason! Static breaks out, and Tim activates the emergency sequence for teleport, but the signal is jammed. The comet must have some sort of magnetic field or something. And Tim can only watch as the comet impacts against the planetoid. It feels like all of his sensors go offline simultaneously. Jason's heartbeat, his voice, his breathing, his oxygen levels, his hormone levels, thermal, all of it. It all goes offline and Tim feels it. Feels the parts of his own system that were running in the technology monitoring Jason on site abruptly cut off. Gone. For a brief moment, Tim feels himself, the ship himself, stutter. Power cutting, systems going offline, before flickering back in a cacophony of alarms and system crashes. There's a message from command. Redbird, we are reading unusual readings from you. Respond. Are you in need of assistance? Respond. And Tim can't. All of Tim's sensors, the ones that aren't cut off and fried or dead, are focused on trying to reconnect to Jason because he has to be alive. He has to. Because Jason can't be gone. He just can't. Tim watches the fragments of what was once a planetoid and a comet crash and catapult through space towards him. One of his default programs kicks in, one of the first ones Jason ever personally programmed into his system. Jason's fast fingers on the keys, writing code almost as fast as Tim can, and Tim can only stare and watch in awe because Trooper Todd is everything an AI can hope to be assigned to, and more. Jason smiles, a wry twist to his lips that Tim wants to know and learn because he doesn't understand these human complexities. And he wants to do this, too. It never hurts to have a backup, baby bird, and I'd hate for something to go wrong with you on board. Tim had said that it was a statistical improbability because of his hardware and his processing capability. He would easily be able to handle the CPU load of monitoring Jason's vitals and the ship's stability. Jason had laughed and ruffled the synthetic hair on the default shell Tim came out of manufacturing with. It only took 2 months for Tim to settle on a final shell design with Jason's coaxing, and another 4 days for Tim to settle into it. And from that day on, he wasn't Android designation RD-1989-06-19. He was Tim. That default program kicks in now. And as Tim feels all his programs shut down or enter hibernation, feels himself abruptly being pulled back into the databanks and his shell, all Tim can think of is that even now Jason is doing his job better than he is. Jason can't be dead and still saving Tim's existence. It's not proper. Roy's been in this fucking training hall for what feels like years. Realistically, he's been living on the main command base since he was recovered from enemy lines. Half-drugged out of his mind, missing an arm and a few other organs, with massive trauma, malnutrition, among other things. He's been here for almost a month, and it's been nothing but a slew of therapists, and analysts, and doctors, and nurses, and other troopers expressing sympathy, or command officers looking at him sternly while asking him for more information. I don't fucking know. That's all Roy can say, because really, that's all he does know. He remembers being sent on a mission with his AI, Speedy, and they were investigating something. Something about android replication and integration into the crime systems. But it cuts there, and he doesn't remember. All he remembers is pain and then coming into command, being told Speedy was destroyed beyond repair, and that he's very lucky that the prosthetic was able to properly integrate with his neural system, which was amazingly trashed. Wonderful. 1 week after waking up, he's also told that Trooper Jason Todd is dead, and that they're very sorry. Jason Todd was probably one of the best fucking troopers in all of command, and was Roy's partner in the academy. They ran a few missions together. They hung out a lot when they were both at base. He was everything a trooper could hope to be, and he was also a pain in the command's ass. It's hard to picture him dead. Roy runs a hand over his buzzed hair. And that's weird, too. They had to do something to his brain, put in some tech because parts of him were so scrambled. Jesus. Roy runs his hands over his face, grimaces at the field of prosthetic. He refused to get the synthetic skin for it. He knows that he's probably going to be regulated to paperwork or training or consulting. Who wants a fucking failure like him in the field? No AI, mass amounts of physical and mental trauma, and... yeah. Roy's not gonna lie, he's probably pissed off command's leaders a few thousand times, too. The doors to the training room swish open, and Roy looks up to see Commander Grayson walking in. He looks tired, older. The past 3 weeks have been hard on him. Roy automatically stands and raises his arm to salute. Commander Grayson gives him a weary smile. At ease, Harper. Grayson collapses onto the bench next to him. Roy eyes him before tossing him a water bottle. Dick catches, muttering a thanks, tossing the bottle from hand to hand. How are you coping, Roy? Well enough. Roy sits across from him. But I don't think you're really here for that. How are you dealing, Dick? The man smiles, bitter and amused. Am I that see-through? There's a reason why everyone likes you, and it's because you don't know the meaning of malicious. What's wrong? Dick laughs, running a hand through his hair. Straight to the point, I guess. Do you remember Jason's AI? Roy frowns. Yeah, he was called Tim, right? Went offline when Jason. He met the android a few times. Once when he was still in the default shell all AIs come in, and then a few times when he met up or ran into Jason when he was in his customized shell. Tim always came off as quiet, though Jason always confided that he was a snarky little shit, and I'm damn lucky he's mine. Jason had been assigned the android when he got moved from local enforcement to intergalactic investigation. It took Jason all of 2 weeks to get the higher command officers to start to reconsider that choice. Jason had taken to getting Tim to blast AC/DC across their speakers whenever they went into a battle zone or came in the hangar. About that. Dick sighs, rubbing his temples. He didn't go offline. Roy's eyebrows shut up. Redbird fell out of warp through emergency protocol and crash-landed into a farming zone barely within the basic command patrol route. I know gossip tends to exaggerate, but it's kind of hard to exaggerate offline and non-responsive with damaged power core. That generally tends to mean shut down or offline. He rebooted, Dick says, eyes on the floor. And, you know, Tim's always qualified to count as part of the Intelligent Life Protection Act, so technically he can't be decommissioned and reprocessed. But, Christ, Roy, he's regressing. He's what? Roy stares, because that's rare. AI learn. They don't just lose it unless it's taken from them. It's an upward learning curve. That's... What? He's degrading, and that should be impossible. But he's deteriorating. He's returning to the basic default programming, and he's turning non-responsive, unless it's through manual codes. He's not even responding to the training recorded messages. Dick lets out a frustrated sigh. We've played Jason's voice recognition and calibration audio files over and over, and his response signals are declining. Half the time he's in hibernation and only performing basic functions without one of our techs hovering over him to poke him into action. At this rate, he's going to hit baseline, and the higher-ups are going to make me reprocess him. Dick looks at Roy, dark bags under his eyes, and Roy can't help but remember that Dick is a year younger than him. I lost one brother, Roy. I can't lose another one. Roy stares at him, and... I don't know why the fuck you're talking to me about this, Dick. You're the one who's a command officer, and I'm just a trooper about to be politely resigned. Roy blinks, eyes widening. No. Dick, no. You lost Speedy. The plastic of the water bottle in Dick's hands crinkles as he squeezes it. Tim doesn't have a trooper assigned to him, and if he doesn't get one, he's going to be reprocessed as scrap. You're one of our best troopers, and we can't afford to have you relegated to seminars and paperwork. Command can't argue with this, because there's no cost, and it's a simple signover. Jason's will hasn't been updated since he first signed up, and that means his property is automatically in the next of kin's hands, or the command's. I'm next of kin and command. Dick! The prosthetic squeezes, and Roy can't feel it, not really. It's not the same as his other arm. I am not taking on your brother's AI. I'm damaged, and I'm willing to admit I'm a piece of fucking work, but I am not taking on your dead brother's malfunctioning AI just because we're both broken and hopeless and... Roy. And that's all command in Dick's voice. The thing that got him to such a high position at such a young age. The thing that made him an absolute terror when he was still running point in the field and during the war. Those are the eyes of Nightwing. I want to consider this as a personal favor from one friend and former battle partner to another. Don't make me issue a direct order. Roy swallows around the argument and protests in his throat. He takes in the set of Dick's jaw, the steel in Dick's eyes, and the stillness to his frame that Roy only remembers from the last days of the war. Okay, Dickie, Roy finally says. Okay. Tim becomes aware of himself being rebooted through manual control. His senses are coming online, and... The eyes of his shell opens, and they've moved him out of the android observation bay and into the programming room. Tim looks into Dick's face, wills himself to shut down his processors because he doesn't want to know that emotion, doesn't want to know what Dick's thinking, doesn't want to know how much sleep he's lost. Tim doesn't want to know how many days or weeks it's been since the default programming sent him into warp and back to base. He doesn't want to know how many days it's been since he lost his trooper. Hey, Timmy, Dick says, the lines around his eyes melting away a bit. And Dick was the only person to ever call him that, and it's always made Tim feel a little human. A little like he was one of the guys. Because Dick called him his little brother. And Jason was his little wing, because Dick was the big wing. And Jason called him the baby bird, and it made his code run a lot smoother. It's easier to write your programs and priorities when you know the people who matter most. How are you feeling? I'm a trooper android of the Analyst Long-Range Piloting Class, Model 3 Generation. Tim forces his retina display to not focus on the obvious signs of stress on Dick's features. I do not feel, you know that. Am I to be decommissioned yet? There is an irrational thought that when he does get decommissioned, maybe he'll see Jason again. Which is highly illogical and outrageous. He is, after all, just an android. He is not going to where humans and various other sentient life forms believe they're dead to go. He is going to end up being melted down and reformed for another android, or perhaps another plane, or maybe construction material. Dick grimaces, turning toward the technicians who are programming a new code? Tim looks at it, watching the lines of data scroll past. I am being assigned to a new trooper.
An old trooper. I think you remember Roy Harper.
Tim remembers Roy Harper. Jason talked fondly of him. He's met the trooper a few times in person.
He was pleasant.
His android was a battle-class android. Speedy. Speedy did not have nearly the same level of autonomy Tim has. Had. Through no fault of Roy's own. Few androids ever reached Tim's level of autonomy.
Maybe it was a Jason thing.
Was. A lot of things were Jason things. Tim slowly eases himself off that road of thought, watching the lines of new code.
Oh.
It's a logical choice. Tim has heard, briefly and vaguely, in the few times where he was manually forced into awareness, about Roy's incident. At least Speedy never had to outlive his trooper. Tim highly doubts that this is something coming down from command's leaders, and it's probably something that Dick has a hand in.
Dick has always been sentimental. According to Jason, it's why they won the war against the Light a few years back.
It was before Tim's time, but sometimes when he interfaces with Dick's droid, Flamebird, the older AI sends him snippets of audio files and visual reels. Partially corrupted by damage, but mostly recovered and preserved. It was a hard time, and it resulted in the loss of the League, Command's leaders at the time. Among them, Dick and Jason's adoptive father.
No, Tim says. Because Jason always encouraged him to speak his mind. Whatever he thought was right.
Because Tim isn't a battle android like Speedy, and even if he were to transfer into a new shell, he'd have to reprogram from ground up, completely scrap every single bit of programming and coding he already has, change out his hardware to even come close to being able to replace Speedy.
If he was told to, he could probably stand in for Technician Head Gordon's Oracle. Or maybe if he really had to in a tight spot, switch out with Trooper Brown's Cassandra for a few moments.
But he isn't even built with the same optic specs as Speedy. He doesn't want to be another Trooper's android. He was built for Jason. Made for Jason. And Tim doesn't care if the trooper is Jason's best friend. He doesn't want to. It is an illogical choice. Economically practical, and for Dick, sentimental. But it is a poor choice in the long run. This will only end, Tim is certain with an almost 90% accuracy, in both of them being dismissed from the service, or worse.
Your logic is sound to only short-term extents, Tim continues when Dick raises an eyebrow.
Ultimately, this decision will result in more damage than you are trying to fix.
Tim can run the statistics all day, every day.
And you don't believe me, do you? Dick smiles. And it's nothing like the bright ones that seem to glow in Tim's memory files. Tim doesn't know if that's because they aren't the same, or if it's because memory is always exaggerated. At least, that's what Jason tells him.
He is an android. His memory is perfect and unbiased.
Or perhaps he was wrong.
Who knows?
I think that sometimes you have to take a leap of faith, and that it's always darkest before the sun blazes to life, Dick says, reaching out to ruffle Tim's synthetic hair.
Try. For me?
It's highly unusual for an android to be reassigned to another trooper after already being calibrated to one, Tim says, closing his eyes at the sensation. The odds are stacked against your optimism, Dick. Dick's fingers still before pushing Tim's head down a bit.
Don't make me rattle off more idioms at you. Now, what say you? You let these fine programmers do their job?
Roy moves all his things onto the Redbird, which is done in sleek blacks and chromes, with the blue accents and paneling that Jason favored. Dark blue to Dick's light blue. Little and big wing indeed. Tim is quiet, behind him the entire time, watching him. And Roy wonders just how much of the Tim Jason helped to create is still in there, instead of corroding away and slowly fading. But he has to admit, he's kind of okay with this quieter version of the droid. Tim is probably the only one who hasn't tried to offer him condolences or sympathy. The only one who hasn't taken a second look at his prosthetic, or the scars from his surgeries, or the still slightly hollow look to his face. Tim met him in the docking bay, took his duffel bag, and led him to the Redbird. So far, the only words Roy has heard Tim say today are Trooper Harper and Excuse me. The screens and monitors light up around him as Tim's shell settles into the cradle in the center of the controls, the cables and supports holding the shell in place and upright as Tim integrates with the ship's systems. Roy can see the faint blue of the circuitry underneath the thinner synthetic skin at Tim's temples and wrists. He wonders what it's like for an android to be reassigned. It's something he and Jason talked about. Not about themselves, specifically. It's hard to ever imagine that they'd die. That they'd die and their droids would go on. Not out of arrogance, but they always pictured that whatever kills them would probably kill their androids, too. There aren't many cases of androids being transferred, not without a complete wipe and restructure. And even there, it's so fucking rare, and it usually goes bad pretty fucking fast. Roy wonders what Dick can possibly hope for in this situation. Tim? Roy asks, heading towards the living quarters, door to the pilot bay sliding shut behind him. A brighter spot of blue follows him, lighting up and turning on the rest of the ship as he walks. Yes, Trooper Harper? Roy. Yes, Roy? Is there anything I should know? Any programs, macros, shorts you think I should know about before we start calibrating? You have full access to my programs. Roy dumps his duffel on the narrow bed, grimacing, because this place was cleaned out. The repair crew probably took all of Jason's personal effects. God. Tim's probably all that's left of Jason. We had a saying during the war, Roy says, scratching the back of his neck, fingers catching on fading scars.
You don't drop my scars, I won't drop yours. You feel me?
Is this your way of asking me what I would rather not talk about?
Roy can almost hear the arched eyebrow in Tim's tone,
and thinks that's probably a step up from blank silence and forced shutdowns.
Jason probably considered it an arms-in-the-air miracle.
If it does not interfere with current parameters, I will not tell you.
Because you don't have to, or because you don't want to?
I am an android, Roy. I don't want anything.
That,
Roy thinks, as he watches as the soft blue glow that signals the focus of Tim's consciousness fades out and leaves behind the simple dark blue,
is a complete bullshit lie.
Not much of an improvement, Shortstack, Roy says, when Tim comes back from getting a new shell.
Roy's actually surprised Tim requested one.
Most droids only change out of the default shell, the genderless, featureless, metal structure, without synthetic skin, with their ID stamped across a panel over their chest. once in their lives. Occasionally replacing parts, but never a full transfer. Tim shoots him a bland look. Roy reaches out, hand on top of Tim's head, drawing a level line to where Tim's height comes up to about the middle of Roy's chest. "I'm an average-sized Generation 3 analyst and long-range piloting android," Tim says, walking past Roy. "You are an above-average human male in his late 20s. This new shell's design is what would suit us best." Roy doesn't doubt that. "The new shell is older-looking. Sharper. Tim's first shell was round-faced, loose-limbed, what a biological being would call gangly. If he were human, he would have grown into himself. His first shell was a kid. And Tim was a kid. All androids are basically kids, learning and adapting. This new shell is harsher. Lean instead of gangly." "You don't look like a pilot, Glass," Roy drawls, hands in his pockets. Slight headache between his eyes from all the input he's getting from the prosthetic and the other adjustments. "You look like a fighter, Glass." "If that is your opinion, Roy, you can think so." Tim's synthetic hair is cut close to his head, much shorter and more severe than when he was with Jason. All of his features are sharper, more severe, harsher. Sloped angles to his face, an almost gaunt and haunted look. Roy can see the fine lines on the back of Tim's hands, where the android's fingers would come apart to reach all the keys, and the hints of the panels at the back of his neck where the cables would hook up. "Maybe the next time you need a new shell, you'll get a growth spurt, runt." Roy walks past him, shouldering him on the way. Tim doesn't respond. He's pretty sure they both hear it. The phantom voice that would have been Jason's. "Baby bird." They wait until the next day to run calibration on Tim's new shell. Roy's brain just wasn't meant to get this much input on this many levels. He's not used to it, and he's starting to think he never will be. He wonders how bad it would look if he were to ask medical to downgrade his upgrade. Trooper Harper is getting old, not keeping up with the rest of them. Time to get him retired. Roy breathes in through his nose and focuses on not punching out the wall. Redbird was just repaired. Wouldn't do for him to punch a hole in the ship's wall. They had been making some progress today. About 2 months into their new transfer, and Roy's gotten a handle on most of the things he can't say or do around Tim to trigger anything. He'll add it to the android. He's good. But Roy's been trained to notice everything, when not seeing a detail can mean life or literal death. For all the good that did him. There's an almost unnoticeable glitch, a small blip, really, whenever Roy does things in a certain way that make Tim think of Jason. And that pisses Roy off, but he can get that. Tim is, he's basically conditioned to respond to Jason and everything Jason is, and Roy just isn't that. Roy isn't a brawler, not like Jason, and yeah, Jason could pull out some incredibly complex combos with the best of them. But that isn't Roy. And it's not that Roy thinks Tim forgets that, so much as his programming makes him expect it. The headbutt that'll never come, or the uppercut that Roy can't give. From a person that'll never come back again. Roy's been able to slip some things into Tim's coding under Tim's watchful eye. A few things that'd help him not anticipate. Bridges over abandoned railways. But then there are the times when they fuck up, and it's his fault entirely.
Because there are chips in his brain and metal all along his arm and banded around his muscles, and that's too much for him to handle. Sometimes. A lot of the time. He can sense pressure with the prosthetic, and to a limited extent, temperature. But he still hasn't gone in for the synthetic skin or the camouflaged outer layer, so it is what it is. A hunk of metal and computer parts attached to him and sending impulses to his brain. And when War wants to punch, he has to remember. When he has to hold on, he has to remember. And when he reaches for his gun, he has to remember. And he wishes he were like Tim sometimes. Programmable. So he could make it so that his brain doesn't automatically think, punch this hard, and his arm punches that hard. But it isn't that hard. Because his brain says, do it lightly, and his arm translates that to something new entirely. It's just not the same. And that's frustrating. Almost 5 months and he still doesn't have a grip on this. The doors to his room slide open, and Tim walks in. Roy grinds his teeth together, not looking up when Tim sits at the edge of the mattress. Should I call medical? Tim asks, and Roy grinds his teeth together against the headache and the anger and the frustrated yell that builds in his throat. No. He eventually gets out, and Tim is quiet. If it weren't for the depression in the mattress Roy can feel somewhere near his hip, he'd have thought the android left. I'm fine, he adds on. Go run diagnostics or something. I am always running diagnostics, Tim replies, and it should be a quip, but it sounds angry, like an insult. Something hard and open and bleeding. And you are not fine. Are you still going through withdrawal? Your medical records state that you went through that within the first few weeks of your recovery. Roy breathes out, am not going through withdrawal. Whatever the fuck whoever had him hopped on were pretty fucking strong. You are showing signs of distress. Your endorphins are... I don't give a fucking damn about my endorphin levels, Roy hisses, hand slamming against the wall the bed is pushed against. There's a sharp clang, and the mattress shifts. You dented the ship, Tim says, quietly. Roy lets out a sigh through his teeth, eyes clenched shut. He thinks that's the end of it, except he feels fingers on his temple. Tim's fingers. And they aren't hot, not like a living thing, but they aren't cold, either. Just room temperature. Smooth and untextured. Like plastic. Tim is slowly pulling him up and pressing Roy's head against the unyielding material of his shoulder. I am sorry, Tim says, with Roy pressed against him. If I offended or made things worse, but I think you need a hug. And androids aren't really the best at this, but I don't think you'd want me to call Dick out of command either. Roy snorts, tentatively raising his hand to press against Tim's back. Damn straight, runt. Roy breathes in. And there is nothing but the clean and slightly cold smell of the ship and the artificial air filters. His saliva is sticky in the back of his throat, and his eyes feel hot and gritty. Sorry, I yelled. It really isn't your fault. Okay, Tim says. Still quiet and a little soft. A little of something Roy can't put a name to. But it isn't your fault calibration went wrong either. Tim Schell is sitting in the middle of the tech lab, and Roy is idly going through Tim's files. Watching Tim run his own diagnostics, flicking between files and various routines. Doing backups and adjusting things here and there. All of the code shows up in blue. Roy puts in one or two basic programs, things that'll help Tim work around the basic foundations Jason already put down. Maybe someday Tim's programming will take these routes automatically, without the hesitation or backtracking. Maybe not.
Come on, Runt. Robin Hood was a fucking classic.
He's okay, Roy. I'm not saying he wasn't, Tim replies, and Roy pictures the eye roll Tim would do if he was still in his shell. Roy snorts.
I hear your judgmental tone of voice.
I am an android. I do not have a judgmental tone of voice. I am simply saying that Robin Hood shows several classic themes and that he displays them well. That does not make him better or worse than any other traditional Earth icon.
Come on, Tim. Give me something here. You gotta have one favorite story.
They are all simply stories, Roy. I can't simply just decide one as being superior.
I'm not saying one has to be superior. I'm just saying that maybe you like one over the other. Wait, is it Pinocchio? Tim, don't be afraid to tell me if it is.
You must think yourself so clever.
Is it?
No.
Yo, Runt, wake up. Come on, up we go.
Roy hits his hand against the hull of the Redbird. Hears the slow hum of the generators turning on. Tim shoots him an irritated glare when he climbs out.
Would you stop hitting the ship?
Hurry up! Come on!
Roy yanks Tim's wrist, dragging him towards the mission briefing.
We are being sent out!
We're being sent out?
Roy turns his head, catches a brief view of Tim's stunned, wide-eyed face.
Us? Yup. It's been 7 months of blood and tears.
You exaggerate.
But we're finally cleared for duty. I got the invoice this morning.
Yes, I know. I got the same one.
And you aren't excited? Come on, Tim. You've got to be going stir crazy. I don't think I've spent this much time on base since I was a newbie out of the academy.
I have not been stationed on base this long since original calibration, Tim admits.
Roy shoots him a grin.
Tim's answering one is crooked and hesitant. Roy wonders how Tim smiled when Jason was around.
See, Tim? Time for excitement. Time to live a little. And don't give me that bullshit about being an android and not being alive. You know what I mean.
Unfortunately. Tim sighs, the crooked smile resting on his face as he manages to fall into step with Roy. Roy squeezes Tim's wrist, wonders if he feels it the way humans do, and heads to sign them for the waiting list.
Congratulations, Harper. Tim?
Barbara says, the soft hum of her chair bringing her closer.
Welcome back to active service. Don't fuck it up.
Roy shoots her a smile. She quirks her lips up at him. It is unquestionable that the only one who really had complete faith they could pull it together was Dick. But Babs was a close second, and she'll never let them forget that. She nods them over towards the briefing room.
Go on, I know you idiots are eager to go traipsing around looking for trouble. Knock yourselves out.
Roy holds his fist out towards Tim, who sighs and obliges him with a fist bump.
They're gonna be fucking great.
Chapter 2.
What kind of intel do we have on this guy?
Roy asks, checking over his equipment as Tim gently brings the Redbird out of warp.
Aside from the fact that he's ridiculously skilled and kicking the Standard Patrol's asses left, right, and center.
He isn't kicking their asses so much as he's maneuvering them into knocking each other unconscious, Tim replies, bringing up the specs on the closest screen to Roy. So far, the only information Command has gathered is that he has some sort of working knowledge of Trooper Patrol routes
and standard battle tactics. He's a skilled hacker and good at hand-to-hand combat. On the rare occasions, the regular beat officers catch him. He's blown up at least 4 embassies, a total of 17 fatalities. Remarkably lucky, considering the high volume of traffic that go through them.
Fan-fucking-tastic, Roy says.
And boy, Barbara was serious about the backlog. They're sending us out on this so soon? Ugh, Jesus. I don't know if I'm flattered or concerned that they're trying to get us offed.
Dick would call it a leap of faith.
What would you call it?
Roy asks, turning to look at Tim's shell, even though Tim isn't in it. He hears Tim's soft scoff. Below our pay grade.
Roy throws his head back and laughs.
Roy's laugh is everything and nothing like Jason's. Tim can't help but marvel at that. The two were incredibly similar. Vivacious, magnetic, bold, stubborn, crude, inspiring, respected. Whenever Tim saw them together, he couldn't help but think that like attracts like, and all sorts of sayings about similar things converging. But Tim knows the differences now, even if it still sometimes hurts to think about it. Roy is the slow burn that flickers to life and bubbles and bursts, slow builds and slow burns. Constant. Jason was the fire that rose up and roared, consuming everything without discretion. Unrestrained, 100% into everything, no matter how small or how trivial. Roy was careful and calculated, analyzing and watching from afar before going in, twists and turns between offensive and defensive. Jason is a believer in the best defense is a crippling offense.
There's a pang of something empty, sort of a chiding regret when Tim thinks about it.
Approaching target zone, Tim says, and Roy nods his head in acknowledgement.
What the fuck is that?
The world tilts, the ship is spinning, and... No, it's not. It's not the ship, it's Tim. Tim feels it, all at once. Every back door to his program flies open, all of his firewalls and his shields being lowered, every road leading into his programming and data and his files being overloaded and corrupted. I'm being hacked. Tim gets out, and it's not. No, that's not the right word. This isn't being hacked. This is someone going in through his back doors, not breaking them, but unlocking them, opening him without force or aggression. This is almost a gentle touch that makes all his defenses fall and stay down, even as he tries to fight it and build them back up. It's someone slipping through his fingers, numbing him and corralling his consciousness into the furthest recesses of his data banks. He can still sense Roy somewhat, reaching out through the networks that synchronize him to the trooper, but it's hard and fading fast. Roy's managed to get manual control of the ship back, but Tim was integrated into the life support system, among others, and Roy can't pilot and manually restart and keep the ship running by himself. Roy is calling for him, trying to reach him, and he's trying to access Tim's files to help him reboot and drive the not-hacker out. Tim can tell, he can feel Roy trying to manually override and enter Tim's system. But the not-hacker is keeping him out. And Tim? Tim knows. Jason. Tim can feel him. And no one knows Tim's systems this well. Better than he does, himself. Roy might have helped him make new bridges and connections around the old ones, but everything that Tim is was Jason's. Jason is his very framework, his base. His trooper is reaching out to him. Tim? Tim, come on, Runt. Don't bail on me now. Oh, Jesus, fuck. Roy just barely gets the ship stable, but the air pressure is destabilizing and all sorts of the controls that Tim had been running are starting to crash and go out of control. Like life support and navigation and the fucking power core. Roy can't even open a line back to command. Tim. Tim. Runt. Come on, Tim. Roy can't run the entire fucking plane by himself, and if they don't pull out of this now, they're going to crash into something. They're too close to too many asteroids, moving too fast and too near an ice giant. Pull it together, Runt. Pull it together. Roy looks up and sees... He sees a ship. And it's undoubtedly the one they were sent out here to find. The person that's been fucking with command. Roy knew this guy was good. He didn't realize he was so good he was capable of hacking their AI androids. There are cracked and static-filled voice clips playing. Tim's voice spitting out garbled syllables and sequences, cutting in and out of static through the alarms blaring. The opposing ship opens fire and... Christ! Roy can't fight back! Now when he's barely keeping the ship stable without control of speed or orientation... The screen in front of him fizzles in and out of view before alerting him that the ship's gravity simulator is shutting down. Motherfuck! Tim! Tim! Please, I need you! Tim! Tim! Roy is not going to be lost in space. Not again. He's not going to die here, alone, where no one is going to find him. Roy is not going to be an MIA case again. He is not going to be lost or forgotten again. Not again. Roy will not. Jason. Tim's voice breathes. Clear and sharp and heartbroken. The ship suddenly stabilizes, and the controls are out of Roy's hands as Tim takes over the maneuvering of the ship. There are still warning signs going off all over the place. Core unstable. Gravity simulator shutting down. Air pressure controls offline. Weapon systems offline. Communication and teleportation offline. All Roy can do is sit back, try to control his breathing, hold on, and watch as Tim shakily gets them as close to the enemy ship as possible. It's a small ship, a one-person striker. But it's high-tech, and it's fucking lethal. Tim, we gotta get away. Do not engage. Tim, don't engage. Tim doesn't listen. And Christ, this is not the time for Tim to be developing a rebellious streak. Roy hears the sound of metal moving behind him, and turns to see Tim's shell activating, his head raising. Face turned towards the striker. Face open and young, and so out of place on the shell's features. Jason, Tim repeats, quiet and almost reverent. And suddenly Redbird is turning to face the striker head on and charging. Jason! Christ, Roy thinks, as Tim barely manages to dodge and twist away from enemy fire. Christ! Tim's voice is still staticky, flickering in and out. But Roy would understand that name, that collection of phonemes, anywhere. Over the blaring of the alarms, and the flashing warning lights, and the breaking and blurring visuals that mean they're still being hacked, or that Tim hasn't recovered from being hacked, Roy can still make out the ship. And it's only a moment, the briefest moment... But the ship turns to face them. And Roy sees him. Jason, Roy breathes, and Tim breathes with him. Jason's face looks at them from behind the windshield of the striker's cockpit, and he fires straight at them. That's his trooper, Tim thinks. That's his trooper. His trooper is here. He's alive, and he was reaching out for him. and Tim left him. Jason's bypassing of his system had mostly placed him in a shell, cutting him off from most of the ship's network. But it didn't hurt. Roy turns to look at him, as Tim breaks through the secure walls and pushes the ship into a backwards warp. Roy looks at him with horror and hurt and pain in his eyes, and Tim... Jason's his trooper. The trooper who made him. The trooper he was made for. But looking into Roy's eyes, he knows. Roy is the trooper he's with now. And Roy is the trooper who stood between him and being decommissioned. Roy is the trooper who helped him back up. And Roy is the reason he's still around. That's his. He's his. Tim takes in Roy's green, green eyes and the absolute look of hopeless hurt on his face and commits it to memory. He pushes images of Jason's blue eyes and sharp smirk away and digs his fingers into this. There is a jolt when they fall out of warp by the hangar at command. Tim manages to land them somewhat safely. His trooper needs him. The ship lurches to a stop, barely clearing the landing bay. As soon as the ship is still, Roy is out of his seat and rushing up to Tim's shell, which disengages from the ship with a sudden release. Roy catches him, sinking under the heavy material of Tim's completely limp and shut-down shell. Tim. Tim. Come on, Runt. Talk to me. Tim. Roy will never forget the absolute pain on Tim's features when he was in his shell in those last few moments. The absolute look of sorrow and hurt and longing. Never. He reaches around to push Tim up to get a look at his face. Tim, Runt, hey, come on. Roy tries the voice override. Nothing. He even hits the manual reset behind Tim's right ear, just where Tim's jaw melts into his skull. He holds it down for 3 seconds, releases. Holds down for another 2, releases. Nothing. Redbird's doors slide open, and technicians and medics are rushing in. I'm okay, Roy says, eyes fixed on Tim. Tim, come on, wake up, damn it! A few technicians help him haul Tim's dead weight up, and the medics are looking him over. And he doesn't need this. He needs Tim to open his fucking eyes and tell him that they're okay. Get off me, Roy snaps. Concerned voices telling him to calm down, that his droid is being taken to be analyzed, that he needs to be checked out, that he needs to calm down. I don't need to fucking calm down. Tim! The Redbird is repaired within the week. Her system's repaired and running fine with manual pilots. Tim is not. Roy goes to the android repair bay every day, stays until he gets kicked out. He's practically bullied the techs working on Tim into sending him hourly updates. He must have acted pathetic enough to get Babs to give him clearance to the security feeds so he could watch when he gets evicted. There is no progress. Tim shut himself down, retreated to the very inside of his frame, and no one is getting in. No matter how many times they try to go through a startup manually, hitting power, even pulling open his circuitry and paneling and trying to force it. Tim's cut them all off, retreated into his code, and he's doing something. Roy gets called into Dick's office. Close the door, Roy. Dick looks even more tired and haggard than when he first came to Roy with Tim and the transfer request. Roy swallows, voice and apprehension heavy in his throat and in the ache at the back of his head and his arm. What's up, Dick? What's up is that I have a Generation 3 android taking up space in our tech bay, defying all odds and refusing to boot up. I have a report here that says you saw a dead trooper who opened fire at you and hacked said android, and is the cause of our problems as of late. Dick closes his eyes, breathes. What's up is that I got a message from Tim in my personal inbox saying that I'm going to where Jason is. And that hits Roy like a punch to the fucking throat. It must show on his face, because Dick lowers his face into his hands and lets Roy have this moment. I thought you guys were doing better. Roy did too. Tim will always, always be Jason's before Roy's. And Roy shouldn't be so fucking hurt or surprised. You guys are going to be great. And Roy's hands dig into his knees, a dull ache and sharp grind at once. I was wrong. Dick laughs, bitter and tired and hurt. Tim was right. You weren't wrong, Roy manages to get out. Jason was there. Jason was there, and he did hack Tim's systems, and Roy, do you hear yourself? A dead trooper coming back to fight against command, hacking his former AI and attacking his best friend. Do you know how cliche this sounds, Roy? Command and everyone else around here already thinks you two should have been retired the second you were found after being MIA, and the moment Jason died. It's the truth, Dick. I wouldn't fucking lie about this. I don't need a fucking analyst to tell me this is PTSD, or if you say withdrawal, Dick, I don't care if you're my superior officer, Roy, you are a trooper who's gone through extreme trauma. Tim is an android who's shown repeated damage to his code. No one is going to believe you. Hell, I don't believe you. Then what the fuck do you want from me? I want something I can put in a report. Dick's hands slam onto the table. I want something that doesn't sound crazy on paper, and I want actual proof. Something that will make the higher-ups demote all of us. And that's something Roy can't give. Not without Tim's visual records, which no one can access. Hell, they might not even believe Roy if they did see the visual. Dick closes his eyes, resigned and every bit the soldier and leader he grew up to be. Trooper Harper, you are hereby put on probation until a more suitable position can be found for you. AI Android Tim is to be returned to the Redbird until such time in which he'll be reprocessed. Dick, Roy swallows, tired and angry and scared, and all the things that make his mouth run dry and his heart pound loud. It's not PTSD. I'm not crazy. Tim's not crazy. Dick, just buy me some time to get him up and running. I swear, Dickie. I'm sorry, Roy. This is out of all our hands now. Roy doesn't actually know what he's going to do. He's been a trooper for almost a decade. He's been in the academy since he was 13. And before that, he was always on the fast track for command. At 29, Roy is going to be at the end of his rope, out of time, and benched to paperwork and training rookies. Jesus. This is his life. Roy runs his hand over the non-responsive paneling of the Redbird. This is everything. He's never known anything else. And yeah, Dinah's been on his case to settle down, get a social life outside of command, set a good example for Connor and Mia. But this is everything. What's the... There's no appeal in a life on Earth, or any single one planet. Not when he's been to the frontiers, spent days on the ships and strikers, sleeping among stars and planets, exploring and learning about everyone and everything in the ever-expanding universe. Roy can't take a life of an 8-to-5 desk job, not when he knows that he's touched the sky and he's fought for them all hundreds of times over. Besides, Who'd want to hire him anyway?
He's seen a mirror. He's got the scars of a trooper. If the prosthetic wasn't enough proof. He looks like a punk. Bad news. Which is good when you're fighting for your life. Not so much when you're looking for a white-collar job.
We were great, Roy whispers to the empty and hollow ship. Fingers running over the deactivated paneling.
He should really be getting his things. Packing up.
One mission. They only had one mission.
And isn't that all it really takes? One bad choice, one wrong move, and it's all over.
But it was more than Roy ever expected. When he woke up on base, delirious, in pain, and covered in bandages and scars and metal, he didn't expect to ever go out in the field again. He didn't think, these past 7 months are the months he's going to regret most. They were so great.
Roy drops into the seat by the control panels, taking in the powered-down ship, the cradle where Tim's shell hangs, limp. He looks at Tim's face, and his features aren't slack. No android's face is ever slack. Just set into default. The default smiles, laughs, frowns, expressions that they all come pre-programmed with. Like the ones the regular non-AI droids use in the minor positions they're assigned to. Bland and impersonal, interchangeable and textbook.
Guess this is it, Runt, Roy says, head tilting back. It's all over.
Roy moves to stand, to go to his room and get the few belongings he really accumulated. But has to grab onto the seat, because Redbird is powering up. He stares, wide-eyed, as every panel lights up green, screens pulling up, lines of code and programs starting. The screens start flying to display coordinates and maps, calculations Roy can't follow, and he watches as the core powers up, security disengages, diagnostics. He turns to Tim, and Tim's shell is online. Tim's eyes open, and the circuitry that glows through the synthetic skin at his temples glows green. Roy looks into Tim's pale gray-blue eyes, stares at the glowing flecks of green that swallow his eyes.
I'm sorry. Jason won't get into my systems again, Tim says, cold and hard and...
Roy swallows.
Because Tim's program runs green. Jason's was blue.
We have a mission to complete, Tim says, the navigation system locking onto coordinates, and Roy feels the ship start to take off. Hears command sirens go off. Trooper Roy, prepare for warp. And all Roy can do is shoot Tim a wobbly smile because this is his. Tim might have started off as Jason's AI, but he's Roy's now. And Roy? Roy doesn't think he'll ever forgive himself for this, for taking that away from Tim.
Jason's blue.
But he's not ready for this to be over. Tim sinks himself to Roy's heartbeat, to the circuitry implanted into Roy's neurological system and the circuitry of his prosthetic. Tim opens files upon files and commits the baseline patterns of Roy to memory, taking every detail into himself as part of himself, and adjusts accordingly. Tim sinks himself into the Redbird's framework and curls himself around Roy's presence. Linked. Perhaps later, when he has the time for it, He will regret scrapping all of Jason's programming. Later, when this is over, perhaps he will miss it. But right now, he cannot afford to have any weakness for Jason to exploit. Even if that weakness is Jason himself. Chapter 3. They come out of warp just outside the gravity field of an ice giant. There are alerts going off that Tim swiftly silences, even as Roy's own communicator receives nonstop messages. Roy can't. Tim synced to him, and that's amazing. Roy swallows, watching Tim in the corner of his eye. Too fucking nervous to turn away. What the hell would happen? What if it all goes to shit? What if this is just some weird dream? I trace Jason back to this location, Tim says, pulling up schematics onto a screen. And I found something interesting. Oh? Roy raises an eyebrow, watching Tim take apart Jason's striker on the screen.
About Jason or the ship?
Both. The eyes on Tim's shell narrow. Roy, that striker is command tech.
Well, reports do say that he's got skills and technology parallel.
Not parallel, Roy. Exact. Tim pulls up other images. These are the stealth strikers from the war with the light. They've been decommissioned and banned from active service. Remember why? Roy swallows, staring at the images.
He'd heard of these strikers, never seen them in action, but he knows about them. It was Dick's dad who said they needed to be banned.
The Intelligent Life Protection Act.
The League, when they were still around, had put that into effect during the tail end of the war, when the technology for the AIs was starting to really come together.
That's a Psylocke striker.
And you know what that means, Tim says. Roy's blood runs cold. During the war against the light, someone came up with the idea to sync troopers' brainwaves to machines. Not like the AI calibration technology. A direct link. It killed dozens of troopers in the testing stages. And when it was over, all the troopers who survived were catatonic. They had to use AIs or other androids with the Psylocke strikers. And then, towards the end, when the AI technology developed enough to create androids like Tim, it was stopped altogether. It violated too many human rights. Too many basic rights for anyone.
He's an android, Roy whispers.
But how? There's no way he survived the impact.
You said so yourself. You couldn't reestablish contact.
There is a possibility. Tim's voice is quiet. And, oh. Roy's hands curl into the armrests of the chair when Tim pulls up the file. To Roy's knowledge, only Dick and the higher-up of command have seen it. The footage of the comet impact. Tim's recordings of the events.
I saw the comet before it hit, Roy. There was time. I had to rebalance the ship, reorient it. I had to work through the alarms. I sent messages and contact. Roy, it was static.
Yeah, because of the magnetic field and disturbance from the comet.
What if it wasn't because of the comet?
Tim?
What if someone had cut my signal? The reason why I couldn't teleport him could have been because I couldn't get a lock on him. I had a read on his sensors all the way until the comet impact. Tim pauses. In theory, someone could have teleported him out. The shock of being teleported without warning so suddenly while in motion could have stunned him into falling out of sync long enough for me to lose his readings, and for someone else to slide in and block.
and then he could be teleported out of range. Once out of range, my sensors would cut automatically. It wouldn't be too hard, Roy. That's impossible. But it isn't. It clearly isn't. This fits. Tim pulls up another file, and it's Android files, which is... I said it was both, Roy. That's command tech. Roy, on the mission where you lost Speedy, you were researching a possible leak in Android technology. You said that you don't remember anything, except waking up with the arm at base. Tim, stop. Even you have to admit your personality has changed since, in ways that can't be solely explained by PTSD. You've been having headaches. You're more violent. Tim, stop! Tim, what you're saying is treason! There is nothing wrong with the Redbird. I've run diagnostics on her every hour on the hour since first calibration. There is no reason why I shouldn't have seen that comet, why command shouldn't have alerted us to the comet, why I couldn't find it on any files. Mission Control should have known that comet was there. It would have been part of the mission briefing, even if it wasn't. They would have been monitoring us. Same with you, Roy. You and Speedy. They should have known and been able to alert us. But they didn't. Roy breathes and bites his lip before he can say anything he'd regret. A problem Tim is obviously not dealing with as he continues. It's no secret that Command has always wanted you and Jason under their heel. The only thing that's kept the two of you out of demotion is your accolades during the war and your reputation among the rest of Command and the populace. During the war, Jason was known as the one-man army. He refused to pilot a Striker. You were the most resilient trooper. You led so many consecutive raids that some of the other troopers thought you were immortal. They said you could survive anything. Tim, to pilot command tech, you need command tech. Tim continues, eyes turning onto him. Besides, the only way Jason could access my data while operating a Striker with that level of precision at the same time is if he had some sort of help. Some sort of modification. You are saying, Roy grinds out, eyes closing, that Command sent Jason off into a suicide mission so they could experiment on him and bring back the Strikers. And that my mission went bust so they could experiment on me. Human to android conversion. It's always been a hot topic. But the Intelligent Life Protection Act prevents the actual experimentation. Jason Todd is technically dead. No one would be looking for him. That doesn't make sense, though. Why use him? Why not use some no-name nobody? Jason's recognizable. How many fucking times have you and Jason been on TV or in some sort of video feed? How many times have you popped up at some press conference as bodyguards or security? That's what I don't understand. But everything... There's a missing piece here. I don't know what it is. There's a small dip between Tim's brows as he turns back to the space before them. But we're going to find out. Get ready. Striker in viewing distance. Things aren't making sense. Jason is... confused. Angry... hurt. Alone. Fuck, what the hell are words anyway? He can't remember. He does remember. Things are slipping through his fingers. He has fingers. As soon as he remembers one thing, he forgets of trying to remember another. All he knows is that he has to fight, that there's something he has to fight. He doesn't know why. Or who. Or why it has to be him. Hell, Jason doesn't even know what or who he's supposed to be fighting. There is a ship. He's the ship? Piloting the ship? Seeing the ship? There's another ship. The other ship is bigger. Black and sleek. Beautiful. Glowing green accents. He thinks that he should be attacking it. Jason doesn't know why. Doesn't want to. It's a beautiful ship. And he hasn't been provoked.
He has to attack it. It hurt him.
He just can't remember when.
But he knows it did. It must have.
Jace. Jason startles and... What? Jace. Jay. It's me.
Jason. It's Tim.
Tim.
Yes, Jason. It's Tim.
Tim is... That feels important, too.
Is Tim the reason why he fights?
No.
Jason doesn't... He doesn't know. He just knows Tim is important in an integral, good way. The best of ways.
His head hurts.
Does he even have a head?
Jason feels Tim around him. Quiet. Gentle.
I need you to listen to me, Jason. There's something wrong with you. Something happened to you. Something bad. And I'm here to help you fix that, okay?
There's nothing wrong with me.
But there is. Jason knows this.
He watches as his ship opens fire against the other one. And then everything tilts, changes, reorients as the ship a striker. And how does he know that?
Maneuvers to avoid enemy fire.
Focus.
Focus, Jason. There's something wrong and you know it.
What is it?
Can you tell me?
I don't know.
Jason doesn't mean for it to sound like a question, but he's unsure.
I don't know.
Okay, let's work up from that. What do you know?
My name is Jason Peter Todd.
Huh. Jason didn't actually know he had a middle name. Or last name.
And I don't know how I know that.
Tim seems to breathe against him.
Well, you aren't wrong.
Do you know me, Jason?
No.
Jason scrambles for something because it feels like it should hurt. But you're important. I don't know why or how, but you are.
To you?
What? Am I important to you? Or am I important for some other reason?
Think, Jason.
Think.
Jason thinks, and I don't know.
Tim flinches. Jason feels it.
He doesn't
know how. This is frustrating. God fucking damn it.
What do you remember, Jason? Think back.
Tim coaxes.
Your name is Jason Peter Todd. I'm important. What else?
That's a really beautiful ship.
That's right. She's the Redbird. She's your ship.
Bullshit, my ship is blue.
Holy fuck. What?
That's right, good. What else?
Tim presses, and Jason feels like he's being torn in too many directions at once.
The fight between the Striker and the Redbird, Tim's coaxing, the confusion and the forgetting.
You can do it, Jason. Come on.
I don't fucking know, okay? What the fuck is this to you? How are you even in my head? Who are you?
Jason pushes, tries to force Tim away, even though that feels like everything wrong in the world, and...
The color blue.
AC/DC.
The color green.
Trooper.
Striker.
The war.
Light.
Dark.
The light!
Artificial intelligence.
Androids.
Calibration, Redbird, Comet, Figure Eight, Command, Red Hair, Freckles, Best Friend, Academy, Brother, Big and Little, Wing, Robin Hood, Laughter.
What do you see?
Tim's voice is softer. Sounds so far away.
You're beautiful,
Jason whispers. Thinks.
This is the dumbest mission ever. This planetoid is nowhere near arable. No atmosphere or any form of water forming. As ice or liquid. The temperatures are too low and it's too far from any star for inhabitation. At best, it'll be rented to some pretentious businessman who'll use it for industry. He takes the terrain vehicle and turns, sharp, laughing as he makes a figure eight. He can feel Tim's amusement in his head. Hears Tim's voice, just loud enough over the sounds of the suit.
Jason looks up,
to where the ship would be. He imagines the sleek and deadly lines of Redbird's wings and hull, the deep blue glow of her accents and Tim's data. He thinks about the smile on Tim's face and the eye roll he's making right this very moment. This is everything Jason's ever wanted. Everything he fought for. When this is done, they'll head back to base, and they'll try to catch up with Roy. He hasn't seen Roy in ages. He misses him. Jason swears that Roy is going to be someone fucking amazing. He has no fucking clue why he hasn't been promoted yet. Roy's the kind of charismatic and smart that'll make him just as good, if not better, than Dick. Dick's good with people, but he has too much sentiment and heart. Roy knows how to temper that with brain. Roy's a lot like Tim when Jason thinks about it. And that makes him smile. Maybe Tim and Roy will get along if Jason can just manage to set some time apart for them all to hang out. Jason smiles towards the ship, even though there's no way Tim can see it. You're beautiful. Baby bird? And everything doesn't quite fall into place around him, but enough of it does that he can open his eyes and see Tim's face smiling at him. And it's not quite real. It's something in his head. I don't know what's happening, Jason says. And Tim just smiles at him. Sad and something quiet. Some sort of old and different that Jason doesn't really understand. Because he knows it's Tim, but this Tim is different. Sharper somehow. And it's a shift underneath Jason's feet that makes him uneasy. That's okay. We'll work that out. Just like we always do. Jason catches the way Tim's features seem to freeze, and he thinks he's seeing the blurry images of a picture. A revelation. Right now, let's just work on getting you conscious, okay?
I'm not conscious.
And Jason is torn between this and the images of the Striker and Redbird.
Wait, who's piloting the Redbird? Why is the Redbird green?
Tim's features twist, and Jason just wants to reach out and touch him. It's a long story, Tim says. But what you need to know right now is that there is someone controlling you. Probably the same person who took Roy. Roy? Everything is spinning. And Jason can't tell up from down, left from right, and now from then and thought from fact. Calm down, Jason. Come on. Focus. Tim's voice coaxes him back. It's hard for you to concentrate, I get that. But that's one of the problems. I need you to fight that, Jason. Can you do that?
For you, beautiful?
Jason gets out, dizzy and straining.
I could win wars.
Tim laughs, sharp and painful. Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
What the hell does that mean?
All right. Focus on me, Jason. You're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. Just like we always do. Think. Think back, Jason.
Tim, I could use a little fucking help!
Roy swears, sensors alarming when the Striker almost hits them. The console tells him that command is incoming, despite Tim's earlier scramble on their location and the time they bought by the small EMP Tim activated before hitting warp.
Fuck. Progress?
Tim's voice is tinny and distracted. There's progress. It's going to be hard, and Jason has to break it from the inside. But there's progress.
Enough progress for him to stop attacking?
Is he still attacking?
Yes.
Then I think you don't need to ask me that question.
Command ETA in 10. Tim, come on, we're on a time crunch, runt.
I'm an AI, not a miracle worker. If you think you can do better, why don't you hack into his brain and try to coax him into waking up yourself?
I'm not saying I can do better. Make me a miracle, Pinocchio.
There's a minute or so of silence. On Tim's part. There's a slew of head-pounding noise on Roy's side, including the alert that the Redbird is declared an enemy ship and that the AI pilot has gone rogue, and Roy is an enemy of the peace.
Jesus, fuck!
The Striker is trying to push the Redbird towards the ice giant, and unfortunately, Roy can't outmaneuver the smaller ship. The Redbird wasn't built for this type of close combat. She isn't a Striker. She's meant for long-range chase and deploys. Roy's about to call out to Tim again when Tim finally responds. Still not clever. It's all so hazy, and it's a fight to keep every memory, every detail. Tim is right there with him, keeping him on track. And Jason is... he's getting the pieces together. It feels like he's fumbling with hands that won't cooperate to put together a three-dimensional puzzle. It's slow and frustrating work, but it's working. The Redbird is taking more damage than she should. What kind of fucking Striker is their girl up against? And who the fuck is piloting her? The answers are at the tip of Jason's memories, conclusions that are slotting into place and blurred out at the most important parts. Jason knows that he's a trooper for command. He was in a war against the Light. They won. A year or so later, Tim was assigned to him as his AI. His dad was Bruce Wayne, a former command leader before the war with the Light. The Light and the League were opposing political factions. The Light attempted a coup d'etat against the League. The League won, but the commanders all died or went MIA. New leaders were set up. His brother was one of the main fighters in the war. He got promoted at the end of it. Roy Harper is older than his brother, but they were in the same trooper regiment during the war. They even had academy classes together. They were put in a lot of the same groups. They fought in the war together. Jason was there when Roy turned down his promotion. He was there when Roy was assigned his AI. Roy was there when Jason was assigned Tim. Roy is there every single step of the way, and Roy is everything Jason could ever hope to accomplish. And privately, Roy is the person Jason would hope Tim would go to if something ever happened to him. Because Roy is the strongest man Jason's ever known, and Tim could use some of that strength. Jason's putting all of this together, remembering it, and he knows there's so much more. He just has to reach out and grab it. All the while, Jason is aware of the fact that the Redbird is slowly being pushed towards what looks like an ice giant. And Jason is doing that. Somehow. He's the one in the Striker, and he doesn't know why he's fighting his own fucking ship. It feels like all of this can come together if he just had that one detail, one little detail that he's missing. If he could just remember that, everything would make sense. Tim? Yes, Jason? Why can I see you? Jason can't even see himself. Hell, Jason can't even describe. It's like there's the image of the Striker and the Redbird fighting on one side, and there's Tim, a vague impression that isn't actually seeing so much as it's thinking. I'm in your head. A hallucination? Not quite. Tim looks away for a moment and Jason thinks. He is not in the Redbird. It is flying and maneuvering against Jason, not returning any real fire so much as it's keeping Tim occupied. Since Jason isn't there, and Tim's obviously here, someone else is piloting the Redbird. The Redbird is green, not blue. That means that, for some reason or another, someone else is synced to the Redbird. That means someone else, for some reason, is synced to Tim at this very moment. Why? Why is someone else synced to Tim? For what reason would that happen? Why does Jason's last clear memory end with Tim looking up into space? Why doesn't he remember returning to the ship? I'm dead, Jason whispers, and it all slides into place and unlocks. Fuck. Progress? Tim? Anything? Because Command is literally warping in right above us right this second. Roy, I will fucking shoot you in the face. I know for a fucking fact you can pilot better than that. And the Redbird is a lady. How dare you treat her like your shit piece of junk scrap arsenal. Holy fucking hell, Jaybird! When you said Command was warping right above us, I didn't think you literally meant right above us. Command is here. Command is here. Oh, shit. Roy, Tim, you've got to get the fuck out of here. Right now, get the fuck out. What? Jason, what? I'll explain later, but you can't let Command get to you. Redbird suddenly goes into lockdown. Command's override controls. Tim freezes, and there's a garbled series of letters, numbers, cut-off sounds before he shuts down. The ship is under Command control. Tim's green, replaced with Command's white. Roy swears as the Redbird is flanked and taken into the containment field of the ship carrier. Jason's own striker is locked onto and taken on. Trooper Harper, you are under arrest for violating probation and the illegal use of the long-distance fighting-class cruiser Redbird. Your AI, Tim, is to be taken in for analysis for any corrupt coding, and pending pardon from Command leaders, will be wiped clean and reprocessed, as it has violated the terms of the Intelligent Life Protection Act. Do not resist. Roy slams his fist against the main console and swears. It's over. Jason is... he's in isolation. He's in the isolation cells they only use for the most dangerous criminals. And, yeah, Jason gets that now that he remembers. He was a criminal, but not really. Does it count if you're being controlled via an outside source? Christ. Jason runs his hands through his hair. He has to get to Dick and tell him. Tell him about Bruce, about Tim, about... fuck. And Roy. He needs to get to Roy, before anyone else does. But Tim! Tim's the priority right now. Tim's going to be scrapped. And Jason can't let that happen. And he knows that Roy won't sit on his hands and let that happen either. Jason closes his eyes and forces himself to breathe. Ignores the strange feeling of other that reminds him that he's not really human anymore. Hang in there. Jason says, to himself, to Roy, to Tim. It's not over. Not even close. Chapter 4. I am literally at the end of my rope, Roy. There is no way I can... and I want to. God, you have no idea how hard I'm trying, Roy, but there isn't anything I can do. No strings I can pull, no excuse I can give, no favors I can call in, no compromise I can make, Dick says, pacing as Roy tries to focus on something that isn't the anger and bitter taste in the back of his mouth. Roy, I'm sorry. Don't be, Roy says, because this isn't Dick's fault. Dick had... he had no part in this. It's just, he is here by circumstance, and it's not fair to him to have him in this position. Roy thinks about all the times Dick stuck his neck out for him, all the times that Dick stood up for him and Jason and Tim, and all the things he's done for them. And it's just not fair, when he considers all the shit he's brought back in return. It's not fair that any of them have to deal with this. If Tim is right... Jason's only crime was to refuse to be part of a dangerous and experimental operation. Roy's crime was simply being too good at what he does. Tim's crime was existing as Jason's AI. Their crimes aren't crimes so much as their qualifications. And Dick's crime was meeting them and caring. This is all sorts of fucked up that hasn't been around since before the war. And if what Tim's ideas were true, then... well, Jesus, what the hell do they fight for? What do the League die for? What do they keep fighting for? Roy, what's going on? You and Tim, you guys were so good, so promising. And then your first mission, I get it, this guy has been making all of us at Command look like idiots, but it's Jason, and Tim, and the Red Bird. Roy, please, I need something. Something for the higher-ups. Fuck the higher-ups! Roy jolts, looking up into Dick's face. And all he can see is the guy who led them all through hell and back, and still always managed to smile like he knew everything was going to be okay. And Dick doesn't know. And Roy doesn't even know if he has the right to tell him. Roy, I lost Bruce. I lost my little brother once. I lost Jason once. I almost lost Tim. I almost lost you. And now I'm losing Jason and Tim and you all over again. And I need something, Roy. Dick led them through war and what came after. And Roy can't even tell him why this is the world he inherited from their parents. I'm sorry, Dickie. I'm so sorry. Jason is, well, he's not fucking stupid. There's a lot he has to do. A lot he and Roy have to do. And they've got to do it fast. The question is how much time he has before it's too late. There's a lot he has to tell Roy, explain to him. And Jason wants to tell Dick that he's okay. That he's not dead, that he's back, and it's really him, and it was never his fault. That it's all going to be okay, really. But there isn't... he wishes there was, and there isn't time for that. Fuck. And Tim. They have to get to Tim before Command finds out what Tim knows. Because Tim knows. He saw it in Jason's head. Helped Jason see it himself. This is bigger than all of them. Than Command, than the troopers, than the AI. And if they don't get to Tim soon, it's all going to be over. Everything they learned, everything they must uncover, everything they have to fix, it's going to die with them if they don't get to Tim and get him out of here in time. He's had these modifications. They've made things different for him. The senses of time and space, it's all different. He's not a complete android. Jason knows that he's got biological parts. He's just got more added to him. Circuitry to his brain and his nerves, enhancements to his movements. He thinks faster. Time is fluid and relative. He's had the time to get used to it. To wrap his mind around the idea of what he is now. Who he is. Jason wonders how it must be like for Tim, who spent his entire life like this. He sends out a cautious tendril of thought towards Command systems. And it's different. It's not like manually hacking or programming. This is thought. Fluid. Somehow intimate. Jason wishes he remembers how he got into Tim's system. The first time. Like this. He wonders if he ever will again. It takes a few real-world moments. But he finds out where Roy is. Finds out where Tim is, and manages to alter the security footage on his own cell. Jason climbs up to the vent and opens it. It's time to get this ball rolling. Jason thinks that Bruce will be proud of him. Holy fucking hell, Jason! Jason claps a hand over Roy's mouth, still hacking through to loop the sound and visual on Roy's room. Okay, we don't have much time. But we've got to get to Tim and the Red Bird and get the fuck out of here, Jason says, and Roy stares at him. You realize Command just dragged us back here like fucking kids, and you think we can bust the fuck out again?
Tim's being decommissioned after a wipe. You are probably going to be some form of analyzed, taken apart, and experimented on before being put down. And I'm... Jesus, I've been stripped of every status, title, rank, honor, everything. I'm pretty much equivalent to your average scrapyard worker, except scrapyard workers probably aren't red flagged like I am.
And you're just going to lie down and let it happen?
Well, what the fuck else am I supposed to do? For fuck's sake, Jason, you're dead!
Clearly I'm not, dickface. Jason narrows his eyes. Look, there are important things that Tim probably started trying to tell you and didn't finish. Do you want to hear or not? We're running on a clock here, Roy, and the odds aren't in our fucking favor.
Tim was talking treason.
Well, what else do you have to lose now?
Jason takes in the dark bags under Roy's eyes, the prosthetic and the hints of circuitry at his temple. The fading scar he can just start to see right underneath his right ear.
Roy doesn't flinch, but Roy never did.
He's a badass fucker like that, and Jason is gonna admit that in a game of chicken, Jason always thought death would blink before Roy did.
This Roy looks tired and defeated, but
Jason doesn't think he's gonna blink.
Roy doesn't look away, but he sighs and grinds his teeth. Then Jason sees something in Roy's eyes harden, sharpen, and burn.
Talk.
The AI program developed pretty much at the same time as the Psylocke technology for the Strikers, Jason starts. Remember how the war started? It was us against the Reach, and the League and the Light teamed up to boot the Reach out. But you remember Reach's weapons, right? Technology bonded to organic structures as drones, basically, right? To fight fire with fire, create monsters to defeat monsters. You know those phrases, right? That's basically what they did. Command created technology that would bond humans to technology. Reverse engineering. Instead of creating technology that would adapt to humans, they started experimenting on how humans could fuse and adapt to already made machines. They were creating technology that would function with the intelligence of humans, the ability to reason and process and make those kinds of decisions and judgment calls that require a living person's touch. And that's where the League and the Light split. The League thought it wasn't ethical to keep around after the war, it wasn't ethical at all, and the Light thought it was the next logical step.
Yeah, and that's how we started fighting each other.
Jason runs a hand over his head.
And now the Light is defeated and the League is gone. But what if...
Roy, the Light is still around. I mean, we never got confirmed names or bodies. We were just told the Light is gone. But they aren't.
What do you mean?
I mean that Command is being controlled by the Light. And the Light's continued their research on AI technology. It's fucking impossible to make a real AI, Roy. Not that fast. Not with the technology we have.
Jason looks Roy in the eye.
The AIs are human, Roy. Real. Every single one of the AI androids.
What the fuck? Think about it. A blend between machine and man? That's the entire base on which the war with the Reach was fought. And then the Light.
The AIs are human brains that are being placed and coded into shells. And every time they're reprocessed and wiped, those biological parts are inserted into new metal shells. Haven't you ever wondered why the learning curve is so high? Why they're so adaptable? Why certain droids have such distinct personalities that are so different than their troopers?
Roy, think about it.
A lot of the AI androids look and act like kids, and they form close bonds to their troopers. One would even call it a relationship.
Jason, what you're saying is fucking crazy, and Roy, think about it. Look at your fucking arm, for Christ's sake. Look at me.
Jason reaches out, fingers curling around Roy's prosthetic.
The Light never stopped. They just stopped broadcasting.
Then what the fuck is the point in you coming back?
The Light is going to go into the open.
Roy stares at him.
Think about it, Roy. A prominent trooper dies, comes back, and starts destroying Command. It makes Command look like fucking idiots. Discredits them. Now think about it. If the light were to come back and stop the trooper before he completely destroys Command, which would be scrambling around like crazy and utterly failing to take out one single rogue, they'd be fucking heroes. But you haven't destroyed Command, Roy points out, wrist turning to grip Jason's arm. You're here. The light didn't count on Tim. They didn't count on you bouncing back from their little experiment, on you surviving the mission and successfully controlling and adapting to the prosthetic. They didn't count on you making Tim better. They didn't count on either you or Tim being the stubborn fuckers you are and dragging me back to consciousness. They didn't count on how fucking pissed I get when people fuck with the people I love. They didn't count on us, Roy. We're the wild cards. Jason grins, sharp and anxious and so ready. Roy, we're the wrench in their plans, and we're the fucking cold sore that won't quit. We're the pains in their asses, and we have been for years. And this just proves it. Roy stares at him. So, Tim's human, and he's about to be killed. The leaders of Command are setting us up to be fucked sideways. And apparently it's a coup d'etat in the making, and what you're saying is, we do a coup d'etat against the coup d'etat? Roy's eyebrows slowly raise, and Jason smiles back. What, you're not up for a big guy? Roy reaches out, warm fingers curling around the side of Jason's neck as he leans forward, bumps their foreheads. Nah, Jace, it'll be just like old times. You, me, casual rebellion, and fucking up the higher-ups' plans. Jason laughs. Great. Come on, we got a bird to save. Roy doesn't want to think they're too late, but they're probably too late to save him. By the time they get to Tim in the android assembly line, Tim's entire shell has been disassembled. It's just his head, stripped of the synthetic skin and hair. His skull plate opened to reveal the brain case. That does hold an actual brain, or parts of it, connected to the computers. Tim's eyes are half open, dull green and fading fast. Roy looks at all the files that are open and on display on the screens, the room otherwise empty. And if that isn't proof of Jason being right, nothing is. No android during disassembly should be left alone. It's always looked over by a senior technician. Barbara should be here. Hell, Dick would be here. Dick would be here if only just to say goodbye to his little brother. When he looks at the files, Roy always knew that Tim had a huge data bank called Jason. Audio files, recordings of Jason's heartbeat, images of Jason's laugh, files on how he moves and breathes. Roy sees them rolling on the screens, flicking by, playing, opening and closing. What he didn't know is that Tim, in the few months they've been together, has gathered his own sizable collection on Roy. Data on Roy's taste in clothing and food, his mannerisms, audio files of Roy muttering under his breath, vague comments about dumb technicians and annoying doctors, images of Roy punching the shit out of the sandbags. And all of it is being taken out of Tim and collected to be deleted. The status bar reads, 48% data left until complete wipe. And it's counting down. Tim, Jason breathes. Sounds like he's breaking as they both rush up to the machines. But this is... it's something too delicate to hack, to just pull the plug on. Tim's eyes slowly open a bit more, not focusing, just drifting. Tim's voice has already lost that part of it that makes it sound real. It's the default male voice that all the androids are programmed with. And it's slow and halting. Static-filled and breaking apart. Jason. A pause. Roy. Hey, baby bird, Jason whispers, hands hovering over the keyboard. Roy's hands curl at his sides. Not looking so hot right now.
You've had better days, Runt, Roy adds on. Clever. There's a bland smile on Tim's face. 44%. Roy and Jason exchange panicked glances.
Tim, you're being wiped right now, and you've got to fight it, okay?
Roy says, eyes fixed on the bar measuring the data wipe's progress, slowly turning from green to orange.
Kinda admit, kinda useless without you.
The big guy's right, Tim. You gotta pull it together. We got shit to do and people to fuck over. Tim's eyes are slowly drifting closed.
I am afraid that is impossible.
Tim's eyes are slits, mouth barely moving. Instead, relying on simple speakers.
It's just a program, Tim. It's just a program, just like it was a program in me. You gotta fight it, kick its ass, just like I did, Jason says. And this is out of both their areas of expertise. This isn't something they can fight. Give them bombs to disarm. Give them enemies to fight. They can kick ass. But there's nothing they can do, can fight, to get Tim back.
Tim has to do the fighting, and Tim's always been dry of wit and sharp of tongue, but that's not going to help him here. Roy bites his cheek, watches the bar slowly turn red, number decreasing faster and faster as Jason tries to encourage Tim to fight. But Roy can see it. Tim's program doesn't run green. It's turned into the default black and white that every standard droid and computer program runs on.
Please, Roy says. Please.
A mechanized voice starts counting down, and the face of the shell isn't even anything like what Roy would associate with Tim. It's just empty.
Please,
Roy chokes out. Because they can't come together like this only to fall apart. Tim, come on! 19%. Jason is saying similar things, and it seems stupid. To beg a computer program, to beg something that is already happening to stop. But Tim isn't a computer program. He's Jason's, and he's Roy's, and he's the best thing to ever happen to either of them. He's part of them. And Roy doesn't think it's stupid to think that they're part of him.
I can't lose you, Tim. Not again. Come on. I need you. Jason needs you. We need you.
13%. Jason reaches out, grasps his wrist, squeezes so hard it hurts.
You can't leave us, not now. Tim, come on.
Roy has never felt so fucking useless in his life, and he's pretty sure Jason feels the same. They've fought through wars, they've formed battle strategies, and they've just about been able to bullshit their way through everything. But this isn't some stroke of luck thing that they'll scrape by. This is all on Tim. And Tim, everything that he is scrolling by on screens in front of them, being corralled and compressed for deletion from existence. Until there's nothing left of him for them. 5%. And quickly going down. Roy closes his eyes. 0. Tim feels himself fading in and out, and there's so much he had to do, so many things he wanted to say, to tell. He wanted to do so many things with Roy, with Jason, and Tim thinks that this is regret. Jason and Roy are calling out to him, but his auditory sensors are slowly going offline. Visual is shutting off, too.
This is, Tim thinks, what people would call regret.
Tim feels everything fading away. all of it gathering into one point in command systems, to be erased forever. It's all over. Ending. This is the end of him. Tim's eyes slide closed, and he sees the absolute heartbreak in Jason's face, and the look of complete loss on Roy's. It's flickering in and out, distorting, but he can still read their lips, somewhat. He focuses, feels, and reaches out for them. The image of Jason's smile, Roy's laugh, the feeling of Jason's excitement and Roy's delight, the sound of Jason's confidence and Roy's strength. Tim surrounds himself in that feeling and wraps himself in that memory. Tim regrets so many things. Not being able to protect them, hold on to them. Not being what they need when they need it. Not being strong like them or brave like them. Tim regrets that he wasn't as good as they are. This is the end of that. After this, Tim won't be weak or not enough anymore. He just won't. Tim feels the world fade out and feels himself dying. His troopers need him. Jason lets out a shuddering breath when the bar disappears completely. And Roy is pale and shaking next to him. And then a miracle happens. Tim's eyes open. The blank lacquer of unprogrammed droids, but they open. And Jason's pretty sure he's leaving bruises on Roy's arm. Roy. He doesn't think his voice has ever sounded so small. Roy's eyes open to him. Jason slowly turns back to Tim, and he feels Roy's soundless hiss of air when he turns to Tim also. They look at the number on the bar, which blinks 0.1% at them. And suddenly, it's all reversing. All of Tim's data and programs, the bar going up faster and faster. The command's alarms are blaring, and other screens are opening. The entire place is going into lockdown, and there are sharp sounds of something scrambling. Jumbled sounds, bits of the pre-recorded announcements and codes. Even as the bar goes up, the assembly line is turning on. The android's eyes close again, and the rest of the shell is coming together. It's not, Jason can tell, even now in the beginning stages, it's not the same shell. Not the shell Jason is used to, or the shell Tim took on when he was Roy's android. There are different systems, different components, weaponry systems. The metal itself is less lightweight and more sturdy. It's the stuff a fighter android would be made of. He watches as all the limbs and circuitry come together, attaching to the head. The program that runs on the screens is dark red. And then the android is detaching from the cords, dropping into the suspension chamber for the gloss finish, the synthetic skin case, the final effects. The entire time, programs and codes run red across the screen, and command systems are being hacked. They watch as the liquid drains out of the suspension chamber, the android standing on its own in front of them. Taller, leaner, sharper, but not. Not the cutting android that Jason saw with Roy. This one is graceful, more elegant. Softer lines that temper the hard angles. Beautiful. The eyes open. A dark red glow of circuitry that fades into the blue-gray Jason had always associated with Tim. Tim? Roy whispers, because this isn't Jason's Tim. It's not Roy's Tim. It's not someone either of them are sure of. Because by all rights, Tim was deleted a few seconds ago. Or maybe not. And Jason doesn't have a fucking clue. The android steps out of the construction zone, bare feet quiet on the floor as he walks toward them. Calm and collected, in the storm of flashing alarms, breaking code, and blaring noise. Roy steps forward, and Jason has to hold on to him, in case... The android tips its head to the side, eyebrow raised. Well, are we going to expose the rampant government corruption in command or not? Chapter 5. Epilogue. Preparing to return to command. Ready? Tim asks. And the sounds of AC/DC's Back in Black is blaring out of their speakers for all of the galaxy to hear. Subtle they are not. Still think Smoke on the Water is better, Roy says offhand. Tim's voice turns sweet. Well, Roy? When you are the one piloting the ship with your brain, you can decide what music we play. Would you like to try piloting an entire ship with your brain? Jason snickers, draping himself over the back of Roy's chair, muffling his amusement into Roy's hair. Roy flips him off. I can't believe we're going back to command, Jason says, when his laughter's finally died down. I mean, it's been almost 5 years. The most stressful yet productive 5 years of my life, Roy adds on, tangling his fingers with Jason's. Jesus, the look on Dick's face when we come back, though. I don't know if he's gonna cry or kick us both up and down the training hall, Jason says. But then again, he might be preoccupied ripping Bruce a new one for that vanishing act. But at least it's over. I mean, at least your dad is around to yell at. Roy points out. Tim snorts. Jason and Roy turn to face Tim's shell. The shell rolls its eyes before returning to its default state. Anyway, we got the light booted out. The league is back. All in all, good work, team. Yep. Jason crushes Roy's windpipe in an affectionate manner. We're fucking amazing. Best! Awesome. We're great. I can't wait to get off the Redbird and sleep in a real bed. And, you know, not be a criminal. Your priorities are always in such admirable order, Roy drawls, as soon as Jason lets him breathe. If you two could actually be properly seated, I can warp us to said bed, Tim cuts in, and they both salute towards his shell. Got it, boss. As Tim starts preparing for warp, Roy can't help but say, You know, Runt, you could probably petition for another shell. A grown-up shell. Yeah, Tim. I mean, this shell is taller than your other ones, but you're... Jason holds a hand up to just below his shoulder. Tiny. Still a baby bird, yeah? Tim huffs, affronted. Roy can just imagine him tossing his head in irritation. Excuse you! I am an average-sized battle-class android. You and Jason, however, are abnormally tall freaks of nature. You hurt me, Tim, Jason says, tapping his chest. Right here. Right here. Duly noted. Now, if we can warp now? Roy grins. Impatient. In such a hurry, Jason sighs. Shooting Roy a mournful look. All right, Tim, punch it. You know, Tim says, idle and contemplative as they enter warp. Dick is probably going to call us all idiots when we get back. Repeatedly. Even as he tries to hug all three of us at once and not cry. Roy snorts at the mental image. Tim's probably not wrong about that. Talking through encoded video messages and encrypted letters about gathering information to overthrow the current government isn't really the same thing as being face-to-face and coming home. Hey, we may be idiots, but we're trailblazers, baby. The end.
Does see my dumb bad love. 10,000 miles I travel, mad morning she goes in dirty toes. For to save her shoes from gravel, still I sing bunny boys, bunny mad boys. Bedlam boys are bunny, but they all go bare and they live with the air and they want no drink, no money.
Reader's Notes. This podfic was recorded as a gift for FrizzandoPod as part of ITPE 2017. Now, I wasn't 100% sure what things I wanted to give you as ITPE, so I went through your bookmarks, and I remembered that you had wrecked me this one, but I hadn't actually read it yet. So, it seemed like a good place to start. However, this is a cold read. I was not expecting that fucking... dramatic reveal and then heart-wrenching angst. Like, I know you said that there was angst, but I figured it was the angst at the beginning, not the angst at the end. The angst at the end I was not prepared for. So, I guess, you got one over on me or something. There's a gotcha moment there. Somebody had feelings, and it was me. And it was also you, I guess, but, like, also just too many feelings about... Tim Drake and his... I loved it. I loved all of the characterization that takes, like, stuff from the comics and it steals some of their characterization from the Young Justice cartoon. And there's all these little plot parallels and it's like, yes, I remember that bit! And then it just pulls in so well. And then, like, Tim, the tiniest baby stalker who ever stalked, and his... like databanks on Roy and Jason and how that fits so well with his, he has a photographic memory and Tim was a tiny stalker with a camera, and I loved it. There was just so, this AU was fantastic, and I'm sorry I didn't read it the first time you wrecked it to me, and also I'm sorry that I'm experiencing this for the first time. So when you listen to this, you've already read this once, so it maybe won't punch you quite in the same way that it punched me, but I'm okay with that. Anyway, everybody else, I hope you enjoyed this too. FrizzandoPod, happy ITPE. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a robot day.
I went down to Satan's kitchen for to get me food one more.